Like a champ.
Amen.
All right, brother. You're live.
You're old.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. All this fellowship. I'm glad you're having a good time. I'm glad y'all came out this morning.
Yes, sir.
Before we get into Acts 15, we're going to go into prayer, making sure the driver of the bus is in the building. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for the breath in my lungs and all of us. We thank you for your spirit being here this morning. We ask that you direct us and you guide us this morning in our understanding of what you left for us. Incredible love story, Lord. We ask that you not only give us understanding, but revelation and wisdom to not only know, but to do. We thank you for this, Lord. Guide me, lead me, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've been in the book of Acts for quite a while now. We're on 15. Acts 15 had, I think, approximately about 40 verses, so went through it several times and got kind of landed me on verse 8, so that's where I'll pick up when I start reading. But just to kind of give an overall where we are in Acts 15. Acts 15 is approximately about 50 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. So at this point, that means 50 years of spreading the good news has happened, okay? So that means from the original spot of his death and resurrection, it has spread. We're now hundreds of miles away, and in this biblical time, that's huge, right? It's not like all I did was streaming on my phone or turn my TV on or go get my Bible. Yeah, go to a Bible study down the road. No. This literally had to be handed from the Holy Spirit from man to man to man. So now here we are 400 or 500 miles away, having the ability to know as a Gentile, I have access to God and he loves me and he is my creator and he is my savior. So that's what's being spread by Paul and Barnabas and many other disciples. But Paul and Barnabas are hearing some murmur of people preaching kind of a hybrid message, saying, yes, Jesus came, he's the Lord and Savior, Gentiles have access, but wait, they still got to be circumcised. Yeah, wait, they still have to fulfill these 600 laws. And that started to have a debate going on between, you know, who's right, who's wrong, what do we need to do? And it upset Paul and Barnabas because they get it. They understand. And so they kind of bring disciples together and kind of make a decision on how this is going to move forward for the Gentiles, whether they do or do not need to be circumcised. We're speaking about circumcision, but at the end of the day, what we're really saying is, do you have to earn it or do you not? Is it about your performance or is it not? And what Paul and Barnabas are trying to speak here is no, it's not. If it was left up to us, we'd be still where our ancestors were, right? Ain't enough sheep to slaughter to try to clean up our mess. There's only one lamb good enough. That was the spotless lamb. And that was Jesus. And he is enough. So we're going to pick it up on verse 8 and kind of where they're delivering that good news. Verse 8. God knows people's hearts. And he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are we challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
We can stop right there, fellas. Everything we discuss up here, everything we do on a Sunday service, everything we do in a Bible class, everything we do in a Bible college, it's all lost if we don't remember that. No works we do, no level of understanding, no level of study, no level of good deeds is going to make what Jesus did any more or any less.
All right.
And as a man, I'll tell you, I struggle with that. Some days, when I know I need it, it's very easy to cling to that. Those days when I just know I don't have it in me, or I just recently stumbled, it's really easy to accept that. But as a man, and a man that carries a dead flesh around, sometimes you start smelling your own self in your level of how far you are, or what you know, or what you've done. And I tell you, there's no greater sin than that, honestly. You're never going to arrive. You're never going to earn it. You're never going to be worthy of it. That's not why it happened, so you can go back and earn it. We're yoked with Jesus. What does that mean? That's what he brought me through. Whenever the word yoke got put on there, then I went down this whole rabbit hole of just where God wanted me to go with that. But I started looking up things about the actual yoke. And no better place to go than Matthew 11, verse 28. Where Jesus himself is saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Is that any of you? Just making sure somebody's in the room. "And I will give you rest. Take upon you my yoke. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest in your souls." Anybody in the room need rest in their soul?
Amen.
"For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Again, this is a mic drop type of verse right here, y'all. It tells us how wrong we're getting. So many religions, so many churches, so many followers, believers. This is not what their life looks like. They look very burdened. There is looking to be a lack of peace. And this is the very message and good news we're trying to spread to the so-called ones needing to be saved. Sometimes I sit in a church or with a group of believers, and I sit, and this is no place of judgment or supremacy, but my heart weeps for them, that I see there's this burden of trying to show whether they're worthy or not. And that's a pretty simple question. If it was up to you, you're not. But you are worthy because he chose you. not because you're good, not because you look a certain way or you have a certain thing. These are the yokes that God brought me to that we actually carry instead of his. First off, yoke, my definition of it. It's a connecting of two separate things being brought together. This could be done through a tool, as we know the physical yoke that we describe to try to get a visual is the yoke that they put at the time on oxen, correct? To plow the fields. But the thing is, typically, what is yoked together is something in similar in size and thought process. They didn't yoke an oxen and a donkey. Think about that. You got the ignorance of this donkey over here with this oxen that's trying to plow the field. That's going to be a constant battle. Guess what? That looks like us. I know that looks like me sometimes. I'm trying to go every which way other than what God's telling me to go. I'm trying to do it every other way other than the way he's trying to tell me to do it. I had that visual. I'm like, I'm that donkey yoked to him. He says it's supposed to be easy. Why is it not easy? This is why it's not easy. We're yoked to dysfunctions. We're yoked to the law. We're yoked to ourself. We're yoked to people. How do you know if you're yoked to the law? Maybe you think if I get some of these 600 laws correct, then I'll be worthy. If I learn another thing that I'm doing wrong and try to fix it, I'll be better. Or maybe you're a prover, a yoke of a prover. You've been done wrong in your life, or you've been told that you're nothing. You're never going to be anything. You have your past hanging over you. People are holding that over you. So guess what you want to do? You want to prove them. You want to prove that you're good enough. Is what you're doing produced by the yoke of the Lord? Or are you trying to prove something? That pleaser. You're saying yes to everything. It looks good. You're volunteering for everything. You don't want to let nobody down. You're always saying yes to people. You're a peacekeeper instead of a peacemaker. That's not yoke with Jesus. Or the worst one, yoke of self. You don't want to do none of those things. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to do me. I'm going to get mine. That'll make me happy. Good luck with that. Ask Solomon about that one. Had everything. You realize none of it was worth anything if he didn't have the peace of the Lord over you. No thing you're going to achieve, no deed you're ever going to do, none of those things are going to be a yoke that's going to be worth carrying. The reason why Jesus said my yoke is easy is because him plus nothing is still everything. And the reason why we're not a donkey strapped to Jesus is because he made us in his image. The problem is it's distorted. We don't see ourselves that way. Can you truly see yourself as a son of a king? Do you see yourself as loved by Christ? When you wake up in the morning or you go to bed at night, do you feel worthy that your Abba Father is come and kiss you on your forehead, telling you good night. Proud of you. Job well done today. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, you're trying to fill a bucket up with religion, with examples around you. Heck, even with the Bible, that's fine. You're trying to fill yourself with all those things. It's not ever going to do it. You're going to be on a roller coaster. I tell you these things, a lot of my Christian journey has been that way. It's been settling for an imitation of God rather than Him Himself. The part of the verse that we don't pay attention to is when Jesus Himself says, "Take my yoke upon you." We read scripture so much, there's so much to read. The Bible's so big, and you know, we want to check that box of how much of the Word we're in. When you can park on one verse because we've read it 1,000 times and missed it every time. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there for. How many words is that? Take my yoke upon you. Five words. If you were in the Spirit and all you read was those five words, that'd be enough for you today. Take my yoke upon you. So that means Jesus is not going to put the yoke on you. It's light. He said the burden is light. But He didn't say there's not going to be a burden. That's the reality of it. There is going to be a burden. The burden is dying to self. In all the yokes my life experiences and my teachings have given me, take that off, and I must take upon me the yoke of Christ. Then after that, once it's on me, then I'm empowered. Then I look like Jesus. Then I move like Jesus. My little girl, she's a freshman in high school. Pray for her. Tell me, you get a little wink from God every once in a while that you're doing a good job. My little girl comes home yesterday, and she's telling me a story about this little girl that came up to her and was like, I think a couple of weeks into school now, so you know, everything's kind of fresh, getting to know new people. You never know who's watching you. This little girl goes up to my little girl and says, "Why are you so happy all the time?" My little girl could have said a million things. She could have said, "Cause I'm loved at home. I got a good life. Things are going well for me." Whatever she could have said. She told this girl, "Cause I got the love of Christ in me."
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Y'all, if I don't do another thing in my life, I did something right. I surrendered myself to Christ 12 years ago. And I've been trying to figure this thing out. And I failed along the way many a times. And I've put on yokes that I shouldn't have. And I've done things I shouldn't have. But He don't change in that. He stays the same. He's the same loving Father that was there when we were nailing His only Son to the cross, y'all. And so, living out this thing as best as I could, just being an example for my children, it's to see what God takes from my life onto my children. My girl was 14 years old, and that was as real heartfelt statement could be. She's not playing religion. She's not going through the motions. That's her life. She has a personal relationship with Jesus. Her life ain't perfect. She's a hormonal 14-year-old little girl. She has bad days, crying over everything. This little boy, whatever, all the things, right? But she knows who she is and whose she is.
Amen.
Amen.
She's not trying to earn that. She's not trying to be good enough for that. She's just accepted that. Because that's what I've been telling her who she is. And I've been showing her that. And you know what? That would have been good, but she had to take it upon herself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's yoked with Christ, y'all. She's not perfect. And she knows she doesn't have to be. And she never will be. But in God's eyes, she is.
Yeah.
Again, God plus zero is still everything. You're zero. He found you at zero, and you still zero until you go with Him.
Zero.
Listen, y'all, we can laugh about it.
That's good.
We can laugh about it.
No, man, but that's good.
Hell, he found me at negative, right? It's still everything.
Yeah. I'm working up to zero.
Zero.
Yeah, so that's what Acts 15 did for me, y'all. I'm trying to live it, y'all. I'm trying to learn it.
Living sacrifice.
How many times do we have to wake up in the morning and put it on?
Every day.
The enemy is doing everything he can in this season of life to distract us. He's no longer trying to hold back the spreading of the word. He's in it. You understand? Go play your little religion game. He's okay with that. Because the confusion that is amongst believers is probably as bad, if not worse, than the people that just don't know and haven't had a chance. That's why we're not changing people's lives. She did the gospel. My daughter did the gospel yesterday. Now that little girl is coming to church with us this weekend.
Yeah.
Because that conversation didn't end there.
Right. Just beginning.
It was, you got something I want. The problem is we're not walking around looking like that. We trying to look like that. And they see past that. You got to be yoked with Him, because that's the only way you're going to roll through this life. It doesn't matter if you're in the freaking darkness that is. Light is light no matter how dark it is. But the problem is, we're trying to create the light. You can't create the light. You're going to give a terrible version of what pure life is. But you have to receive it and take it upon yourself so that you can go out and effortless. This, my little girl hadn't even acknowledged this little girl to this point. So she wasn't putting on any kind of show for her. People are always watching. What do they see when they see you? I'm not saying you go on, you know, commit all these crimes and you sin in. But if they're watching you and your burden is heavy, and it's sometimes heavy with something that looks like religion, you think they want to trade their burden of their sin for that burden? I'm gonna keep mine. At least sin is, this sin's fun right now, at least. That don't look like fun.
That's a sin right
there. How did Pastor say? If, when you were sinning, if it wasn't fun, you weren't sinning good enough.
Had a good time making that decision.
Right. That's why he chose us. He chose us so that we could fully receive it, so then we can spread it. Stop trying to go spread it if you hadn't received it yet. You're doing yourself and God a disservice. You're giving them a fake version of the of what they really need in their life. I know as a man it's hard, because it's like we're sending you out on a mission, but we're telling you don't do it with what you know and the skills you think you have. That's basically what I'm telling you to do. Take off all the things you packed, knock the dust off your shoes, and walk into that room loved and yoked with Jesus, and let Him do. When I first started speaking up here, I would do days and days and days of studying notes, trying to be worthy enough to be up here. You know my process now? I'm diligent. I still read the scripture. But I spend time with my Father. And I say, what do you want me to say? I don't need 7 pages of notes up here to come tell y'all what Jesus told me to tell y'all. He hijacked my message enough times that it's, why even come with my efforts? I want to deliver what He has to say.
Yeah, that's good.
So I hope this done something for y'all today. I want y'all to leave here today with that intention. It sounds too simple, but it truly is. And it's more empowering. I've been confirmed by more men this season of my life. The effect that in November of last year, He told me I would be fruitful. Didn't know what that meant. I was in a real dark season. I'm like, I don't even know if the tree gonna be there next month, much less be, have fruit on it. But in that valley is where He got me right. And now when coming out of it, it's real. And it's less of me and more of Him. And we pray that all the time. We say that all the time. But again, until we start doing it, it's not going to happen. We're going to say stuff that ain't real. We're going to say stuff that we're not experiencing. We can tell people Bible verses all day. But the testimony of your life is what's going to speak louder.
Absolutely.
Living sacrifice.
Every day.
That's good.
Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the intentions to be right, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be with you. Thank you for your love and your sacrifices. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the men of God in this room. I pray that everything they say and everything they do is for you, Lord. Let them be led by the Spirit. Protect them, keep them, and guide them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.